Welcome, everybody, to a Nerd Watch proper edition here on this Tuesday evening, May 2nd, 2017.
You're going to get proper Nerd Watch.
I, of course, am G Money. I am joined by the original, the OG crew of the Nerd Watch. Todd Bernardi is in the house.
Technically, he's
not the OG crew, but we'll say he is. Todd Bernardi is in the house tonight. He is the comic book extraordinaire, the man who is responsible for amazing comics like The Kukui Project, Hard Candy Aftermath, and Chicken Thunder Groovebone.
No, Disco Thunder Groovebone.
Oh, same thing.
No, it's different.
There's a chicken in it.
Also joining us for this episode is the punk rock superstar, the horror aficionado, and the man who I envy to be. It is Gannon. He's in the house tonight
you
as well.
You envy to be me?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because you get all the ladies.
You get all the ladies.
I do.
Yeah, it's weird.
I do.
Yeah.
Why is everybody laughing so hard?
And then joining us tonight is the gaming guru himself, the man who is knee-deep in Final Fantasy 15. It is Format. He's in the house tonight as well.
And I like RPG games where you fish and cook. Lika?
Yeah. And then, last but not least, the chairman,
Zelda for
the chairman of the comic book board and the man who is responsible for Maui Comics and Collectibles and the man who is currently on a mission to save Hyrule. It is the one and only
Three Divine Alika. Beasts, baby.
Yeah.
Compete with that, Calamity Ganon.
And joining us as a special guest tonight, a special guest correspondent, a very talented man, far above his talent.
The likes of Todd Bernardi.
Far above anybody's in this room.
A real
comic book artist. James Silvani is in the house tonight as well, the man who is responsible for putting together some beautiful artwork in the Darkwing Duck comics, hashtag save Darkwing. And he's going to join us tonight and be a nerd with us on the show this evening. First off, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Want you guys to know that you guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. You guys can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. You guys can follow us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation. Watch our exclusive videos. You can follow us on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. And if the spirit moves, you guys can donate to us at patreon.com/NerdWatch. There are donations available to you guys for as little as $1. So check that out when you can, if you would like to.
Yeah, I got $1.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, James. Put it right up on that table, pal.
Because you're a real comic book artist.
Fantastic. He carries money in his wallet. A comic book artist carries money in his wallet? So weird.
I don't even carry money in my wallet.
Thanks for the donation, James. Yeah. I do want to, first of all...
He was actually just scratching his side. It wasn't reaching for his wallet.
Okay. I do want to get this out of the way really quick. Coming up this Thursday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you and with us, because we are going to be premiering the double feature of the Guardians of the Galaxy this Thursday, 4:30 p.m. We're going to be watching Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Presented by the Nerd Watch. So make sure you guys join us this Thursday, May 4th at 4:30 p.m. Get your tickets now. They are currently available. We'd love to have you. We've got prizes to give away. We've got posters to give away as well. Going to be auctioning off posters courtesy of Regal Maui Mall Megaplex. You're going to want to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. James, hopefully you can make it if you're not too busy.
Sure.
You know, most good comic book artists are always busy.
What are you inviting him for? He was going to show up dressed as Groot.
Not anymore, I'm not. Well, my surprise.
What time does it start?
4:30 is the first show, and then there's going to be like maybe a 5 or 7 minute intermission between 1 and 2.
Okay.
So be ready, because we got some prizes to give away, and we're going to talk about all the particulars after the show, because we don't really know what's going on yet, but we'll be prepared once we get there for sure, right, Alika?
Yeah. Why not? I don't think anyone has ever looked at us and imagined us being prepared.
Right.
Those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure that you guys please join us this Thursday, May 4th, at Regal Mind.
We've got actually really special giveaways this time.
Fantastic.
Marvel, First Believers, True Believers comics for people to get into the book. So.
Uh-huh. And,
I'm going to be bringing tree branches.
Okay.
I'm just going to bring potted plants.
Good. Good for you.
Without the plants.
Yeah. Right.
It's a Groot starter kit.
Whatever, it's a Groot starter
and whatever
kit.
Rumors that you're hearing, Chris Pratt will not be there.
He's not?
No.
But Vin Diesel will.
Vin Diesel's going to be there?
No.
Yeah.
He's not.
Is he?
He's going to be about he heard The Rock was here, so he decided not to come.
Oh, is he going to say that one line that he knows?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not whether you make it by an inch or a mile. Oh, wait. That's the wrong series.
No. It's he lives a quarter mile at a time. Got it. All right. Well, thank you guys.
The references you guys are making.
Thank you guys so much for joining us for this evening's episode. This should be a lot of fun. Before we get into the show proper this evening, let's talk about this week in comic books. It is 20% off Tuesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Love it.
And of course, tomorrow or Wednesday, whenever you're hearing this, every single Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday right
full
here at Maui.
Full price New Comic Book
full
Wednesday.
Full price New Comic Book Wednesday at 333 Dairy Road.
It's like a Tribe Called Quest. You say the whole thing.
333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Every single week, brand new comics right here for your pleasure and for your collection at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Pleasurable.
Mr. Alika, Chairman of the Comic Book Board, what is brand new this week in comic books?
Speaking of the Guardians, all new Guardians of the Galaxy number one
is
coming out.
No,
that's oddly timed.
Weird.
Hey, wait, hold on. Are you going in alphabetical order?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Aquaman number 22. You didn't think that was important, Todd.
Aquaman.
Back to the Future, Biff to the Future, number 4 of 6.
What is that?
It's like a side Back to the Future book.
All right.
Which they've been pretty fun.
All right.
Bane Conquest, number 1 of 12.
Bane? As in
you know
the
that.
Bane?
The
yeah,
Bane.
Yeah, he goes on a, you know... A spree.
I feel like you guys are just trying to get me to do it. and I'm not going to do it.
No. Wouldn't technically, if it's the comic book Bane, wouldn't you have to do it in a Spanish accent?
Right, yeah.
Are you saying Tom Hardy's not doing a Spanish accent, Dark Knight Rises?
He's doing his best Spanish accent.
Batman number 22, which is a continuation of the Button story.
Okay.
Featuring the Watchmen.
Cool. Awesome.
Black Bolt number 1 is coming out, which you also didn't underline. Thanks for that, Todd.
It's because it's another number one that by Marvel that's going to be
it's all number ones when you're dealing with Marvel.
It's going to be selling 20,000 issues. It's going to get canceled by issue 14.
There you go. Do you work for Marvel?
I'm part of their marketing department.
Cyborg number 12.
James, you do notice his disgust in his voice, yes?
When dealing with the Marvel titles?
Yes. I just was wondering if you noticed it.
sure. Deathstroke number 18. Let's see. I can't trust your underlining job, Todd. The Fall and Rise of Captain Atom, number 5 of 6. Flintstones, number 11. The most woke comic in comics. Y'all.
Did you see that? I saw the cover of this week's, of this new one.
It was actually James and Aaron having a conversation that brought to my attention one of the funnier panels. Where, what was it? We just committed a...
We just witnessed a genocide, Bonnie.
That was a legit line in the Flintstones comic.
This new cover looks like the fall of Saddam Hussein with that statue that's coming down. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, a lot of historical parallels in the modern day Flintstones time.
Weird. Anyway.
Ghostbusters 101 number 2. G.I. Joe number 5.
Wait. 101 number 2?
The title is Ghostbusters 101.
Oh, it's Ghostbusters 101. Yeah, okay.
Try to keep up, man.
Sorry.
Yes. Green Arrow 22, Green Lanterns 22. Let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout number 1. Wow.
Mm. They're doing 3 Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy Mother Entropy number 1. Yeah, 3 new number 1s.
That should be the name of the next show, the next
movie,
Mother Entropy.
Why are there 3 number 1s?
Mother Entropy.
So that Mission Breakout, that's the name of the ride at the ride at Disneyland.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. They got
so maybe this is
right.
Going with...
kind of like how they did the Haunted House comic, too, right?
Kind of how they did the Pirates
See
of the
how
Caribbean
James
movie.
Brings context to these comics? Unlike some people.
I'm sure the fans really appreciate us morons just smashing aimlessly around.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Sure.
That's why I'm making the big bucks.
Thanks, James.
Harley Quinn, number 19. Let's see. Jean Grey, number 1, is coming out. Iron Fist, number 3, still kicking. Jessica Jones, number 8.
The name of the title?
No, just Iron Fist, number 3.
Still
I'm just saying, three issues is a long run for Marvel. Give them some credit.
That's awesome, though. That should be the name of the next comic. Iron Fist is still kicking.
All right, guys, grow up.
Right!
I want that to be every book.
We got that MLP, Friendship is Magic, number 53.
Oh.
Yeah.
For all you bronies out there, Outcast number 27, for all you Kirkman fans out there.
Kirkman?
Woo. Woo, woo.
That was the Raptor.
Reggie and Me, number 505. It's an Archie comic that nobody's following.
way to sell it, Alika.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows who Archie is, but it's so hard to sell an Archie comic nowadays. The Riverdale show is doing
well. Not if you go to a grocery store.
Yeah, if you got the square bounds. But the new Fiona Staples originated Archie series from last year.
Yeah.
The main run Archie's doing right, and Riverdale's doing okay because of the show.
How did that Adam Hughes Betty and Veronica book do?
That was doing good in the first couple of issues. Does he still do the covers?
I thought he was doing the interior.
He does the interior.
Wow.
But he only puts out like one book every 10 years, so he's...
Yeah, and that's it, right?
Adam Hughes, not fast? That's weird.
went to the Art Adams School of Fast Drawing.
Yeah. You pay for quality, sir.
We've got Secret Empire number 1 of 9, which Todd definitely did not circle.
Which one? Which one?
Secret Empire number 1 of 9. Nazi Cap.
Oh, that's weird.
You're not excited. You're not excited for this epic crossover Marvel event?
Yeah.
You know what I love is that they already flat out made a statement saying, "Please be patient."
Yeah,
they're just giving up the book. Issue 1, and they're already dealing with backlash. They're like, "Please be patient and read the book."
Spider-Gwen number 19. You underline that one.
That's because that's the last issue of Spider-Gwen.
Oh, is it?
They're going to cancel it after this.
Spider-Man number 16. Spider-Man 23. Spider-Man Deadpool number 17. Spook House by Eric Powell number 4.
Ooh.
Superman number
22.
Yeah. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ongoing number 69. So that's awesome.
69.
Your favorite number.
Of course.
It's true.
Of course.
I bet. I hope. I wonder if Raph is going to hire another hooker in this one.
All right. Enough. Underdog number 1. Based on the cartoon. Unstoppable Wasp number 5. Valerian promo comic.
Valerian is getting a promo comic?
I'm getting 30 of them. Maybe we can give them away at the theater if you want.
That's weird. Okay. That's cool. Valerian is...
That's pretty weird, too.
Yeah. Well, it's a promo comic, but I mean... Wasn't that already translated into English already? The Valerian, the actual original.
Nobody read it here is the point.
Yeah, the Americanized versions are, different.
Oh, okay.
Who's
it's something Luc Besson liked that he decided to make a movie out of, so now we're going to find out about it.
Yeah, right, that's
We've
true. It's
got,
point.
Nobody knew about that book beforehand.
Walking Dead number 167. Youngblood number 1, the re-envisioning of Rob Liefeld's.
Yeah!
Where you finally get to see their feet.
That's awesome. I follow Rob Liefeld on Instagram, and he actually made a crack about something. Oh, you can see the feet in the this cover or something like that.
And street lamps are the same height as the main character.
Obviously not drawn by Liefeld.
And finally, X-Men Gold number 3, which is the final issue for artist, what is his name, Syed?
Syed Hadid?
I don't know what his last name is.
Yeah. The last one.
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah. not going to work here anymore. That's him. That's that guy. Anyway, you can pick up any one of those comics right here on Wednesday. Brand new comic book day here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, 333 Dairy Road in
Kahului. Oh,
that's
a glaring omission.
Yeah, what?
There's Underdog number 1 coming out.
He just said that.
Oh, I didn't hear him. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just wanted you to see the cover.
Oh.
I thought that you were...
See, that's why I was when even I don't pay attention.
I thought we were shopping.
No.
So wait a minute. So which are those Underdog comics technically independent?
Yeah, they're put out by
American Mythology.
Yeah, it's like something. This weird off. Like, I think that's how a lot of independent title publishers are getting their start. Is they find some licensed property that they can, and then try to tag all their other titles.
They find some healthy host that they can cling on.
Basically, I mean, it works. It worked for Dark Horse. It worked for
IDW.
IDW, everybody.
Image doesn't do a lot of licensed material anymore, but they did.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a Ninja Turtles run. They had
Eric Larson was on the Ninja Turtles run, too. And then they had, I think they had G.I. Joe.
Yeah, they did have G.I. Joe for a while. It works. It's a sound Way to make some money.
Keeps me in.
Right?
Yeah, keeps me working.
Keep James working, yeah. For sure.
I did Richie Rich comics a couple of years ago. That was...
Who'd you do it for?
For Ape Entertainment.
Oh, okay.
They had a Harvey license at the time, so I was doing Casper and Richie Rich comics. So.
Were you trying to do it in the original Super
no,
style?
No, no. They different? Were... They wanted, that's what, that was the whole point, is it was... I didn't know this, so that a lot of the Harvey properties are owned by DreamWorks.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. And so they were licensing out and they were making new animated versions of these shows, and so they wanted comics to go with it. And so we were doing them in the style of the new show. The only one that didn't have a new show with it was the Richie Rich stuff. So they kind of gave us carte blanche to do.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
To do a new style to it.
The Harvey protagonists seem to always look the same.
Yeah,
they had the same face, but then
different hair. And
right.
Well, the story behind that is because they were all done. They were all animated first. They all got the look from the Casper the Friendly Ghost cartoons.
Right.
And so when they were turning these things into comic, they say, "Okay, we want everything to look like the Casper cartoon." So that's why, you know, Casper looks like a dead version of Richie Rich.
Right. So, right. 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 Right.
So that's his story.
Yeah. That's where Casper came from.
That's a whole new lineage.
You die, you can't take it with you. You turn into a friendly ghost.
That's pretty awesome. So make sure you guys come pick up your comics here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. It is Maui Comics and Collectibles. Now, James.
Yeah.
So glad you could be with us this evening.
So glad you guys opened the door for me.
Absolutely. We opened the door for you. We're trying to keep closing it in on time. It doesn't work. So first off, can we address the 800-pound gorilla in the room? And I'm not talking about me. The wrist. You have a bandage over that wrist.
Oh,
What happened?
Yeah, no, that...
Is it a drawing injury?
Well, no. There was this 800-pound gorilla. No, this was a drawing injury. I had was finishing up doing some Darkwing comics, and I had two other projects going on at the same time and putting in 15, 16-hour days, and it all kind of cut up with me. So,
Do you comic book artists that get frequent work? Do you guys? Why are you laughing?
I thought I smelled that dick.
No. Do comic book artists tend to suffer from arthritis and or carpal tunnel and or hand injuries often, or is that a thing?
I know that I do. It just really depends on how much you work, you know. I mean, there's people who, who are. This subject came up the other day. I don't know how many people follow Dan Slott's Twitter feed, but
for those that aren't familiar, Dan Slott is
the writer of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, and he the subject was going back and forth about how comic books are formatted now. Mm-hmm. How usually there's four. When there's a number one, you know, like you're talking about Marvel does number ones all the time. They put a superstar artist on the number one issue. It goes, he stays on for maybe four issues, and then there's two issues of filler, just to get a trade's worth of comics in there. And it must be nice to be one of these superstar artists where you only have to do four issues a year,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's you know you're good, and then you move on to your next project and let somebody else fill it up until the sales fall off completely, and then you start with a new number one with a new new superstar artist. So, anyway, not to toot my own horn, but I'm doing an issue every month, sometimes more, and you know, I'm happy to get the work.
So that's more than a page a day, then.
Yeah. Plus, I have other and along the way, you know, you can't. The sad truth of it is you can't make a living doing comics. I would consider myself, say, a journeyman comic book artist. Mm. I'm working really? Wherever the work takes me. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing Spider-Man or Batman every month. I'm doing, you know, whatever work I can get. So I'm working for the regular page rates that say a Joe Books or an IDW or something like that page, pretty good money. But it's not really enough, especially to live on Maui on. So I got to do comic book conventions, commissions on the side, doing whatever. And so, yeah, I'm busting my ass pretty much 7 days a week.
Yeah.
To keep up. And now it's just, this has finally caught up with me.
Wow.
So,
Todd, how are your hands?
They look like a baby's hands.
How smooth are your hands?
These two fingers.
He's been touching my leg the whole time.
Very soft.
Very soft.
These two fingers, I have like motion trouble with these.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get pains in the elbow and then around the shoulder blade and up the neck.
You got to watch that elbow thing, because I had bursitis about 2 years ago from just working on books.
Isn't there like a pillow you can get for that?
You can get a pillow for pretty much anything these days, but yeah, that was...
Is it like a hemorrhoid pillow? That's inflatable.
That doesn't go on the elbow, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
An ass pillow for your elbow.
Yeah.
We're over here trading comic book artist war stories.
This is like that scene of Lethal Weapon 3.
He's got a splinter. It's crazy.
Yeah, I try to get up and move every 4 or 5 hours and do some stretches and stuff.
Crazy.
But I don't always do it.
That is crazy.
You don't look like you're very disciplined.
I'm not. Thank you for pointing that out.
I'm not.
Yeah.
That's true. Good point. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to some nerd news this evening. Let's start with Gannon, because Gannon, I tell you what, Gannon, before we even started the show tonight, Gannon was fired up. He was fired up.
I was?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah.
Yeah,
I
was.
Yeah.
Was I?
Yeah, you were pretty
fired
up.
You
were like, what are we talking about tonight? Because I got some stuff to talk about.
That's what he was saying.
Oh, I forgot all that already.
Oh.
the way that the alien guy came in and used his face hugger.
Oh, but yeah, everybody knows about that.
No. Well, there are a couple stories, Gannon, that you were please share with the group so we can all respond to.
Oh,
whatever.
You're putting it on me?
Yeah,
man?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
since when does this get put
do
on
it,
me?
Do it,
all
it, Gannon.
Do it.
Do it.
Well, I was just talking about how funny it was that after last week's pod, all the big announcements came out for all different
every
kinds of things.
Single every single one of them. It happens every
with
week.
With one of the big key ones being the split
we
slash
may, we may have to move
sequel.
This this podcast to,
yeah, to Wednesday
or something.
Yeah.
Mm. Something later in the week.
Yeah, seriously. So what was it?
I said it.
What did you say?
The split/Unbreakable sequel finally got officially announced.
I heard it was when I heard
I mean
it
nobody was
a,
surprised, but it's official.
But when I heard it was
They're
a trilogy,
call it Unsplittable.
It was so weird. It was so weird that I didn't put Unbreakable in that equation when I first read it. I thought Split, then they were going to do something else, and then they were going to do another movie. So I, for some reason, it didn't click
it's
in my head
connected.
Until afterwards that it was like Unbreakable, Split, and the trilogy is going to be the next movie. I had, if for some reason, it didn't click in my brain.
Oh, so you mean as in Unbreakable 2 is the next thing?
Correct, right? Isn't that what it
no,
is?
No. I think he'd always mentioned that. Well, if you ever listen to Shyamalan, he always said that he actually had the character of the Horde kind of figured out even when he did Unbreakable. He just couldn't figure out how to work it into the first movie.
Right.
So I think it was just his way of sneaking his way into getting Unbreakable 2 because nobody was really that excited about it.
Right. James, did you watch Split? Are you the
I haven't seen Split yet. No. Split.
Oh, man. We can't talk about it anymore. We don't want to
ruin it for
we
James.
We kind of did already. Damn.
No. It's okay. It's on video now, right?
Yeah.
I'll watch it this weekend. I'll come back next week. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, it is. It's on a streaming and Blu-ray, I think, as of today, mm-hmm. as of now. So that is some interesting news as far as M. Night Shyamalan.
And they're all back, too. Even Anna Taylor-Joy is in it as well.
Really? Surprisingly enough.
I don't know how her character would keep on evolving in that story, but she's in it.
How did M. Night Shyamalan go from a premier filmmaker to turning into a joke in Hollywood, and then now he's back as a premier filmmaker? It's so strange.
I don't know if I'd say that.
I would, considering.
I think he's taking advantage of like his first hit.
I give all the credit to After Earth for bringing his career back.
I never saw After Earth, but I'm pretty sure that that last Airbender one was the one that really kicked him down the hill.
Don't watch After Earth.
Or, you know, I take it back. It was The Happening that got that ball rolling.
Can I tell you something?
Listen, all you Village haters.
I actually liked The Village.
The Village wasn't bad.
I actually liked The Village.
And what's interesting is that The Happening would have been a great Twilight Zone episode, not an hour and 45 minute movie. It would have been a great 30 minute episode.
Mark Wahlberg playing a scientist.
Yeah. Right.
What? Bro? Where's that beaker, bro?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
About as believable as Jessica Alba playing a scientist.
That's actually, for some reason, a little more believable. How you doing, Beaker?
Are you forgetting the classic Denise Richards as scientist?
Oh, yes. How dare I forget that? What movie is that?
It was James Bond.
James Bond. James Bond. The World Is Not Enough.
She was a nuclear physicist in The World Is Not
Enough.
Because
when you look at Denise Richards, you're like, nuclear physicist.
What was her name in that movie?
Did she try to pronounce her job title in that movie?
Yes, Christmas. Her name was Christmas. Yeah. That's right.
Christmas Hug and Kiss.
Yes, Todd, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Open all your presents.
Yeah. So it's nice to know that we're going to see a trilogy for Unbreakable. Very cool stuff. Also in the news, fantastic.
There was only one movie.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too before I read it. There's also one other piece of information that I know Gannon is fired up about, and that happens to be Ridley Scott deciding to
kicking that bum Neil Blomkamp off of his
took Neil Blomkamp
legacy
off of his kicked him off right
as
off
he
his
should
perch,
as he should
and told him where the Alien franchise really belongs in the pocket of Ridley Scott.
It's Ridley Scott country, baby.
So for those that aren't familiar, Gannon, could you tell them what Neil Blomkamp's idea was for Alien 5?
Well, we don't know the particulars, but he was basically going to wash away the third and fourth film. And the movie's going to pick up however many years later. I guess however many it would take to have Sigourney Weaver and Michael Biehn back in the film. But I think that's the idea. If I'm not mistaken, his premise is that it was going to come back to Earth and it would just be... Why are you staring at me? But I think that's what his premise was. It started off as storyboards, I think. He kind of got fired up about concept art. So he's working on some of that and then developed the story out of that.
Right.
He worked with Sigourney on, was it Chappie?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So yeah, I guess he's talked to her about it. She got kind of interested, and it spitballed from there. Apparently James Cameron has seen a script, which Ridley Scott says doesn't exist.
Wow.
Really interesting. Ridley Scott says that script doesn't exist, but two people have read it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott. Jeez. That's crazy.
He reads stuff that don't exist.
I think he's retroactively taking over the Alien franchise as his Star Wars is kind of how it seems to me.
Well,
because he always said when he made the first Alien, that was one of his key inspirations. Making a lived in world in a futuristic kind of setting.
Oh.
To be fair to Ridley, though, that is his baby. So,
in what way, though? He made one film and then washed his hands of the franchise for 30 years.
Yes.
Almost 40, if you think
about
it. Yes, but... He picked up where the Dune adaptation by Jodorowsky left off. He took all those production guys off that movie and did Aliens.
But you have to be...
He even took the guy that wrote the script for Aliens to do the adaptation
for
Dune.
But you have to give him credit for trying to do something new. Even in the face of people wanting him to come back and do Alien, he went to do Prometheus. So that took a lot of gumption for him to do. Even if Prometheus was a frustratingly elegant movie to see, for sure.
But the thing is, it's only visually interesting. You end up with the same movie every time.
Yeah.
Somebody shows up to a planet. Mm-hmm. There's something there. Somebody gets infected. Aliens show up. Kill everybody. Maybe one person lives. You can only tell that story so many ways. I'm pretty sure even he's realized that he's going to keep telling the same story every time because there's only so much mileage you can get out of that concept.
Mm-hmm.
They've done 5 movies on it.
Yeah, but they're all the same, if you think about
I'm not saying they're all different.
but they've repeated themselves for five
movies.
To give them credit, they're all visually interesting movies in and of themselves, no matter how good or bad they are. Yeah. But if it really Scott's making them all,
Well, I mean,
he's got two more, I think, planned after Covenant.
Remember,
is that right?
Yeah, remember though, we were going to get Prometheus 2, and then he took a hard right. And
it was going to be called Paradise Lost, I think,
right.
Originally.
Right.
I think it's the same movie, but I think he realized what people really want is a movie with the name Alien in the title.
Yeah, James, are you a fan of the Alien franchise?
Absolutely.
Which is your favorite film?
Oh, Aliens.
Aliens.
Yeah.
The plural. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
all
was,
right.
Because of Newt, right?
Newt, yeah.
Newt had it going on.
Actually, my
see, we would have had Newt in the Blomkamp movie. She would have been there too.
She would have been there too. I'm with James on the fact that one of the shining stars of that movie that never really ever gets talked about in Aliens is Paul Reiser. He is fantastic in that movie.
He's great. He's scarier than the aliens.
He is a creep. Yeah. It's fantastic. He's fantastic in that film.
You know, I went back and watched the first one for Alien about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as great as it was, there was a lot of start and stop in that movie.
Yes.
There was a lot of slow bits and then jump down your throat bits.
There's a lot of that. It had that 70s sci-fi vibe where it was a very slow burn.
Yeah. But Aliens was just from beginning to end. That was just pure roller coaster.
It was an absolute adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everybody disregarded 3.
No. I was actually going to jump in and say I enjoyed that. Because I'm the age where it's okay to say I enjoyed that. Okay. I didn't grow up with Alien or Aliens. Alien 3 was kind of the first theatrical release I saw of that series. And I enjoyed it.
Okay. I enjoyed
it. But apparently it's not okay to enjoy it.
I enjoyed the producer's cut of that film. The producer's cut is a little longer, a little better. It's a little more streamlined. David Fincher disowns that movie entirely.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah? I wouldn't either.
Is it that
didn't
bad?
Didn't they take it away from him?
No. They took it. The studio literally took the film away from Fincher. Took it away from him, and his vision was never met. So that's why he walked away from it.
Well, I mean, he also jumped in on a moving train. The thing was going for a while, before he was attached to it.
True.
So, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a rushed job, but he was jumping onto something that was already moving.
Yeah.
Is that his first movie?
I think that was his directorial debut.
Because
he was doing music videos before that.
I think Resurrection is probably the one that's okay to just disregard. Because that one didn't even have respect for itself.
I would recommend, before you get any further, what I would recommend, if you don't have the Blu-rays for Alien, get them, because the documentaries behind all the films
fantastic.
Are really fascinating. And they go over some of the concepts that they were going to do for the fourth Alien film. Actually, the third and fourth Alien film. And they're not necessarily better, but it's crazy to see all the different ideas that they went through before they finished the movies that came out.
I'm actually a very big fan of Alien Resurrection, only because I'm a fan of that director. It's a French director. He did some great movies like...
It's a very French movie. It's weird how French it is.
It is extremely French.
You're talking
French.
About Resurrection?
Yeah, Resurrection is directed by Jeannot, and he's the guy who directed City of Lost Children. He directed a great film called Delicatessen.
Amelie.
Amelie, which
That's
is another
great
movie.
Oh, I see the resemblance right away.
Amelie is fantastic.
That's him?
That's him.
Yep.
It's his movie.
Amelie and Alien Resurrection.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
That's awesome.
And if you...
I can't remember which one came first now that I think about it, but...
no, Resurrection
came
obviously
before Amelie. Amelie first, because...
I honestly don't know. Amelie might have came out after.
Yeah, we should have...
You want me to look it up?
Research guy, look it up. But
we also got a commission request on the Facebook Live from a customer for James.
Oh, really?
From one of our good friends, Marco, actually, who has a comic YouTube channel. Okay. But
draw me an alien, is what he said.
A Mickey Mouse alien.
Wow.
A Mickey Mouse alien commission and a Mickey Mouse split commission.
Just Mickey Mouse.
Well, I haven't seen Split, for crying out.
No rest for the wicked, apparently. They don't give a crap about your injury, James. Do it left hand. Let's see.
Pull the Frazetta.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, so speaking of French directors, all right, there was a great. There's a Twitter feed called One Perfect Shot. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. It goes to a website, One Perfect Shot, and it just talks about the one perfect shot in a movie.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of film analysis on there, and they did an analysis yesterday of the director who directed the movie Mystery Men.
Oh, Shanker. Kinka Usher.
Yeah, that was it. Directed, that was his only movie.
Yep.
Yep. Really? I had no idea about the story behind this. Like, he was a commercial director for the longest time, made Mystery Men. Apparently, they say the big thing was, say, make it look like a Tim Burton movie. And that was the only direction that the studio
gave
him.
That I didn't know.
And it had all these things going. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I found no fault with that. I didn't see why it didn't make any money. But that, apparently, you know, the career killer.
Is probably more suited to come out now than it was then.
Yeah.
No flaming carrot in it, that's why.
Well, it true.
It's based on the flaming carrot
it is,
set of characters.
It is, but ironically enough, for format, Mystery Men, underrated classic, for sure.
Amelie came out 4 years after Alien Resurrection.
I knew Alien Resurrection came out first.
And do you guys know who wrote Alien Resurrection?
I do not at this time. Who was it?
Joss Whedon.
What?
Joss
Whedon wrote the
movie.
He's
the one who came up with a white alien saying mama?
Yeah, the clone.
It didn't say mama.
It said mama.
It did not.
It cried.
Another interesting Joss Whedon, I didn't know this until a few weeks ago, wrote Toy Story.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Yes. Yes.
There was like three writers on it. But
he co-wrote it.
No wonder why that guy.
Yeah. He wrote a lot of weird stuff you wouldn't think about. I think he also wrote Roseanne.
He did. He wrote Roseanne as well. Yeah.
When he got started.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff you wouldn't think.
Yeah. He did. Oh, he wrote.
That's
kind of
where I think he started that way.
He was also on a little television show called Firefly or something.
Yeah. What is that?
Didn't that one get canceled? Forget about it.
Like a Marvel comic.
It got canceled, so it must have sucked.
And then a little thing called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right. Oh, well. And now Joss Whedon is spending his time mocking
counting his
young
money.
Girls that are cancer patients and having to apologize on Twitter for it. So
Wait, say that again? What?
He mocks cancer patients.
He ended up mocking some teenage girl cancer patient.
Where did this come out? I haven't heard about
you
this.
You didn't see that? You didn't see the big controversy? Horrible. No, you didn't see the controversy about that? He ended up having to apologize on Twitter and everything.
Joss Whedon seems like the last guy that would ever mock a woman with cancer, for God's sake.
I'll show it to you after the
show.
So isn't he spending his time doing the Batgirl movie now?
Yeah. He's doing the Batgirl movie.
He's doing Batgirl.
Yeah, he is doing Batgirl. He has a way with female characters. That's his thing. Yeah. So
sounds dirty the way you just said that.
I did make it sound dirty, didn't I? Of course it's dirty. Dollhouse is one of those one
underrated
shows.
Did he write Dollhouse?
Yes.
Yeah, he started that.
Yeah, he started Dollhouse.
Welcome to the Dollhouse.
No, he did Dollhouse.
The TV show Dollhouse with Eliza Dushku.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You were talking about
Welcome to the Dollhouse.
No.
That was the one where they're all secret, like almost like secret agents.
I think they wipe their brains all the time.
Wipe their brains every time. Yeah, yeah. Never.
And they implant false skills and memories, and then you can hire them to do stuff.
So Fox Force 5.
Yeah. It was what he came up with after Firefly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And Dollhouse was actually a good show. Once again, canceled. So, ironic.
Like a what?
Marvel comic book.
Do I want to ask about the Marvel?
Well, here's the thing. James, since you're here...
Well, it's best you don't get started with that.
But since you're here and since we're already on the subject of Marvel, before we get back into more of the show, do you think diversity is killing Marvel Comics right now? No.
Let me get out my kettle of fish here and open that up.
No, I'm just kidding.
He actually wants to continue working in the industry. I don't think he wants to go on record saying anything against a company that might potentially hire him.
Was that a discussion that was in the,
well, that,
the podcast?
I'm surprised you didn't see the news. One of the big wigs over at Marvel had
the
said...
The vice president said that...
It was the vice president and it was the CEO of marketing.
Yeah.
The guy's last name is Gabriel.
He said that diversity was killing comic book sales, the main problem because we keep putting out different characters... I guess it was by gender, by sex. Well, it's sex, gender, same thing, but by race and all this other stuff. And he said that's what's killing comic book sales right now. And he ended up blaming that, and that became a big issue for the last couple of weeks on the show.
He came out. They put together the retailer summit a couple months ago, and he came out and said that during the retailer summit. And I think Axel Alonso said, you know, came up with something along the lines, kind of backed it up.
Todd being the name dropper.
Then Gabriel was the... But the direct quote came from the vice president of marketing, and he said, what we were hearing was diversity is not what our audience wants. What we were hearing, and I don't know if we can believe this or not, and he kind of tiptoed around it in the original quote, and it was probably taken out of context, but then it created sort of this backlash, and it wasn't so much... And then everybody came out with their own opinion about it. And
to be
a lot
fair,
of people said something.
Unfortunately, media coverage on the internet is not a vacuum.
But to be fair to James, he's been drawing ducks this whole time. So there isn't.
Wow, talking about just limiting the man's work.
No, I'm just saying that his predominant work as of late has been drawing tremendous comics that were ducks. There's not a bunch of diversity among ducks, is there?
Yeah, there is.
Some of them are mallards.
All right. Some of them are mallards. Okay. All right.
They're all foul.
I totally missed.
They're all foul.
Oh, man.
I think that's the name of the show, by the way.
Is Thor still abroad?
No, that's the name of the show. Is Thor still abroad? That is fantastic, Mr. Silvani.
Thor,
fantastic.
Thor is still abroad.
All right. That's right. Fantastic.
That's right.
France or like as a girl?
Yeah, she
there
is.
You go. Hey.
Yeah.
All right.
So listen, let's to save your job or your commissions that come in. We'll move on from that subject of diversity.
Can you draw me Thor as a duck?
Because I'm sure somebody's going to show the commission. Like, I saw what you said on the Nerd Watch.
James.
I want Thor as a topless duck. Can you draw?
Sure.
Duck nipples. Like Howard the Duck.
No, they're called dits.
Oh, sorry, dits.
Yeah, there you go.
That's lame. Do you remember that? You remember that scene from Howard the Duck where the animatronic duck is in the tub and you get to see her topless?
Oh God,
that's what we're referencing. So it's not. I'm not. I don't really want you to draw me a topless duck.
Too late. I'm gonna run.
He's already got in the brain.
Right. Watch a free comic.
You've
day.
Already
like,
committed
you
to
go.
That deposit.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Speaking of us,
I discovered myself to that movie.
We will get back to Free Comic Book Day coming up here at My Comics and Collectibles during the end of the show. We'll talk about that. But before we get into that, I would like to know if anybody had the opportunity to tune into the premiere of American Gods.
No.
None of us have stars.
Okay. according to Stars, the first episode is on their website and it's free. They said the first episode is free.
The same thing with Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Every time they stream straight from their website, it sucks.
Oh, is it?
So, no, that's AMC, I thought.
Yeah.
It seems like
not too many people have it, and Stars even knows that. So that it's like, you know what I mean? It's like they're trying to entice people to subscribe to them, but it never, ever seems to work.
Right.
So according to the internet this week, you're complete cultural trash if you don't have Stars. And if you don't have Hulu for Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
I have neither, so...
Handmaid's Tale, of course, is making it's making itself known because of the content, and that is... Apparently, it's a very good show, according to most reports, so I'm kind of interested in watching it. Mm-hmm.
Sure you are.
Based on Margaret Atwood's fantastic novel.
Mm-hmm. Have you read it?
don't lie. You didn't read it.
Has it got pictures?
Yeah. Is it a comic?
No. Sure, but instead, she
How
did,
many pages does it have? That'll be a telltale sign, you know.
She did release a comic book called Cat Bird Angel.
Oh, really?
With Johnny Christmas drawing the...
Sounds like an underrated classic.
Sounds like something Todd just made up just now.
It was a comic book she created when she was like a teenager, and so... It always kind of stuck with her, and she finally finished writing it and then released it.
Well, that's...
There was a Handmaid's Tale movie, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. A Handmaid's Tale movie came out with, I believe it was Miranda Richardson. And it was an
underrated classic?
No.
Oh.
It actually was a more...
It was classically underrated.
It was an erotic type of, like, Cinemax film or Showtime film. More
so it was underrated. So it was underatedly classy.
Yeah.
Emmanuel goes to Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, something to that effect, for sure. For yeah, that's pretty much what I believe what The Handmaid's Tale was in that respect. But I'd have to double check my history on that. But I know it was starred Miranda.
This is where there's gonna be a subtitle right below you that says he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
That was a different Cinemax movie.
All right, well listen, we'll get a report for you guys on American Gods. We'll let you guys know how it was. I'm gonna try and watch the premiere if I can, and give you guys a report and see if it's worth taking a look at.
They're doing the comic. How's the comic doing?
Handmaid's Tale? What?
No. The American Gods.
Yes.
Oh, it's
Handmaid's Tale.
It sells out.
Yeah.
It's about the Minotaur though. It's not like the it's human the American whole, Gods. Yeah. It's the fantastical stuff.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
That's weird. But I thought it was just a direct adaptation from the novel.
No, it's. I think it's an offshoot of the story in the
That'd be
in the
adaptation,
show.
Todd.
Adaption.
Adaptation. Anyway, moving on. Anything else before we get into the finale of the show? Anything else anybody want to talk about?
Or
anything
Disney announced their next roll of films till 2020.
Ah, that is right.
And Indiana Jones 5 is coming up in 2020.
Yes, that's right.
Because you want to sit on an Indiana Jones film for another 4 years. Or 3 or 4 years.
Wait, well, they got it.
You would think with Harrison being as old as he is, that'd be one of the ones they push forward a little bit quicker.
You would want to make sure
they don't
want
to spend that,
that
money.
Harrison is adequately dusty enough. 2020.
See, that's what the next Indiana Jones movie is going to be. Like, he's the artifact this time.
That would be kind of awesome.
Chris Pratt will be a new archaeologist, and it'll be like, what happened to Indy?
That would be awesome.
Honestly, that already sounds better than whatever they're going to come up with for Indy 5.
Right. Indy is the Holy Grail.
We find.
That would be awesome. I think that'd be so cool.
When they find him, he's just sitting there punching a bunch of Nazis. They've lined up and he's just taking...
Right. And it's Ian McClellan from App Pupil.
Right.
Yeah.
No, when they actually find him, he's still tied up with Karen Allen at the Ark of the Covenant. So that would be kind of awesome.
I just want to see him punching Shia LaBeouf.
Don't we all?
So any other exciting announcements other than Indiana Jones from Disney that you saw there?
I don't know. It's their rollout for the next bunch of films. It's a lot of ones you could predict. It's like Toy Story 4, Frozen 2.
Ant-Man and Wasp.
I think the Episode 9 of Star Wars is finally coming back out in May.
Right. We talked about that when you weren't here.
Oh, well, there goes that.
I thought kind of the most interesting thing of that Disney announcements was that officially there is no plans for Marvel Phase 4.
Yes, I had read that as well. Yeah, there are no official plans.
They're not going to do a Phase 4.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be, Marvel's going to become something different at that point.
Yeah, Kevin Feige said
they're
going to
call it Phased Out. Sorry.
You do understand the hate and the violence.
I'm really surprised you didn't say Played Out, to be honest.
That would have been good.
What is the rumor that is happening after
this? There's no rumor. Kevin Feige just said after Infinity War, they're going to try something new. If I had to guess, a lot of the people that aren't going to want to stick around for further films, they're going to either be phased out, they're going to start with newer characters and stuff
like
that.
Comics, and they're going to re-release the first films again.
Well, actually, I'm hoping by that time they're going to move into, I don't know, maybe say Fantastic Four movies,
yeah,
something like that, because
because obviously Fox hasn't done well with them.
Yeah, that is true.
And maybe they'll get X-Men back.
I'm wondering if
never going to happen.
Never
going to
happen.
Too much money.
I wonder if they would bother even going back to these characters. I wonder if they're not even going back to these characters, and I wonder if they're just starting fresh. So we'll get other characters like Namor, like the Submariner. And
for all we know, Infinity War is going to culminate in like a whole universe rebuilding, and then they're just going to start from scratch. But then I don't know why you'd want to do that when you still have Guardians of the Galaxy going strong and. None of them are going anywhere anytime
soon. Obviously, James Gunn also hinted pretty strongly that Guardians 3 is going, which I think that's a really interesting thing.
Guardians 3 is happening.
Yeah, within this whole, planned out Marvel universe, James Gunn has managed to dig out his niche with Guardians by creating that massive hit and maintaining control in a universe that's like you said, directors leave all those Marvel movies because they're just, the controller kills them.
Yeah.
And James Gunn has bullied his control in there. He's like, no, this is mine.
I don't know if it's so much he bullies control and just more of like where he's at in the scheme of things is so disconnected that he has that carte blanche.
That gives him the room, but also, I don't think they Disney plan to have this happen, that Guardians 3 is going to be beyond Avengers 4.
You got to remember that the rumor was, and I believe the rumor, that the rumor was the reason we got Guardians was because they didn't have the rights to Fantastic Four or the
No,
X-Men.
Obviously, yeah.
They so needed another they team needed movie. Another yeah. team, and this was the team that they picked. And lucky for us that we got – that they didn't have X-Men or Fantastic Four. We were able to see this new team, and this was a really
cool connection
to Cosmic. That
nobody was excited for, except for a very – Yeah. The sage Bruce Hennessy was super excited
super
for it.
Super niche book, yeah.
And he was disappointed that it wasn't his Guardians.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's
I was in the same camp.
Very few of those people around.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Were you a fan of the original Guardians?
Oh, God, for the 70s?
Yeah.
I had a ton of those.
You don't look that old, James.
I'm going to be 50 this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm an old...
Kind of like you, G.
Why don't you shut up, Gannon?
My comics were just... I would get those at the local Sprouse Reitz, you know, five and dime store.
Mm-hmm.
They would have these packs of 10 comics for a dollar.
Okay.
You know, whatever the old... you know, whatever were the leftovers, and for some reason the DC pack was like House of Mystery and Legion of Superheroes and things like that, and then the Marvel side it would always be Tomb of Dracula, Guardians of the Galaxy, Conan. Stuff, you know,
that's weird because Tomb of Dracula and Conan were awesome. House of Mystery, I for some reason that sounds vaguely familiar. Like I've picked it up before. It's too weird when I was a youth.
House of Mystery is like their anthology haunted storybook, like
yes.
you know, Weird War Tales or House of Secrets, and
okay, maybe
DC had a lot of those cool books like that.
Yeah, and so you were did you get to see Guardians in that pile of dollar comics?
Oh yeah, wow. The old with I forget the name, the crystal guy and the,
yeah.
and Yondu was in those yeah. first ones, right? Yeah,
yeah. Yondu was in the original,
huge
right?
Mohawk too.
Yeah. And geez, who else was in those old?
I think Yondu is the only character to span from the 70s version to the modern version,
right? And Star-Lord had his own comic in the beginning, right?
Yeah, he wasn't even a Guardian.
Yeah,
he just was Star-Lord.
Yeah, yeah, with the weird helmet and the goggles and the suit. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So you're excited that Guardians is a thing for Marvel, are you not?
I'm so happy with the Guardians. But yeah, I like it for one reason more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I am married.
It's diversity.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. my lovely wife is an attorney. She has no interest in anything comic booky or, you know, movie-wise or anything
wow.
that I like except for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
The only movie I've ever been able to get her to sit through more than once.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've watched it probably three or four times and she's excited about seeing the new one, too.
So wow. So
that and Battlestar Galactica.
The original or the new one?
The new one.
The new one. Okay.
The new one. We got the first one. I had her sit down and watch it. Mm-hmm. We watched it together. We probably plowed through that in a 2-week period.
Watching
all four seasons.
Yeah, that was actually a very good series.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great series.
And then how did they come up with Caprica after that?
Yeah, that was yeah.
That was. Just,
I think that was prematurely canceled.
Yeah, I didn't get.
Yeah, that was really strange. But ironically enough, I didn't know your wife was an attorney, and now I know why you're a comic book artist.
Yeah.
So, so thanks for the info, James.
Yeah.
all I'm going to say is good on you, sir.
Hey.
That's fantastic.
Somebody's got to have a real job.
Yeah. That's awesome. Anyway, before we get out of here, this week in Blu-rays and DVDs, there's Rings, right?
Which I just watched.
You watched that. Well, and what was your take on it? Well, give us a mini review. What do you think?
It's skippable.
It's skippable.
It's a very skippable. Like, there's one moment that, like, you know, I feel like if this movie had come out, like, after the first one,
yeah,
instead of 10 or 15 years after the second
yeah,
one,
feels like
the movie
20.
Might have played better,
yeah,
because you would have been a little bit more invested in the, you know, the first movie a little bit more,
yeah.
But it's like so weirdly disconnected, but it had some cool moments in it, Like they had like the whole opening is that, you know, some guy saw the tape and he's on a plane, and
right,
the next thing you know, she's coming out of the monitors on in the airplane and stuff like that, which is kind of a cool thing. But then the rest of the movie is just as much as you'd figure. It's
how does she work?
It's like 10 years too late.
I was gonna say, but how does she work in the age of the internet? That's what I'm always worried about.
Actually, that's kind of the only cool thing about the whole movie is that there's this strange. A professor gets the tape, and he kind of starts this weird, I don't want to say cult, but that's kind of what it is. Like, he kind of starts investing his interest in this tape, and he's, you know, if you keep sharing it to people, you'll survive. So he keeps showing it to all these college kids, and there's, like, an art gallery for it and all these things. They kind of build on the mythos a little bit, but again, it's so far removed from the other one time-wise that you're just like, you don't really care about it.
They anymore. Made a second one?
There was a second one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought this was the second one.
No, there was a second one. There was Ring and Ring 2, and then now Rings.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying earlier before we were recording, like, you're waiting for the Vincent D'Onofrio character to show up, and sure enough, Vincent D'Onofrio was in the movie.
Wow.
It was that predictable that I didn't even know he was in the movie, and I was just like, all right, eventually the Vincent D'Onofrio character showed up. And then there he was.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
And he plays exactly the character you think he would play in that movie.
Wow. Anything of note that we should be watching this week other than, I mean, since we're not watching Rings?
If you can find Colossal somewhere online, which I did, watch mm-hmm. that. That's a good
That's
movie.
That's the new one with Anne
Nacho Vigalondo made that movie. The guy made Time Crimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anne Hathaway's in it.
Time Crimes is a fantastic movie, by the way.
Very overrated. I'm surprised more people don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Time Crimes.
Very overrated?
Did I say overrated?
Yeah.
Underrated, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I said overrated.
Time
oh
Crimes is a Spanish film that if no one has a chance to see it, it is fantastic.
It's really good. Like, for time travel stories, it's a really good one.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
It's better than Time Cop?
Yeah.
Well,
there are very so. Few time movies copies. That are better than Time Cop, and Time Crimes is one of them. So,
no, but if you can find That's Colossal, the concept is that Anne Hathaway is kind of a...
Colossal we're talking about.
Colossal, yes. Yeah. She's kind of a loser, and, you know, she's kind of a drunk and a party girl, and her boyfriend kicks her out, which is kind of unbelievable because it's Anne Hathaway. And at the same time, her
You're
life...
You're too fun and pretty. Leave.
Like, the same time her life hits rock bottom, this big monster, like kaiju type of monster, starts attacking Seoul in Korea.
Okay.
And it seems to always appear when she kind of freaks out or whatever. So then she... After a while, she kind of figures out that she's kind of connected to it in a strange way. Because mm-hmm. she goes to a park and then she lifts her hand up. The right. next thing you know, when she's watching her, you know, when she's watching the monster on the screen, the monster lifts his hand up. So it's connected to her in a strange way. It's a cool movie, but it's got a weird, very strange whimsical tone to it. So right. if you're not tuned into that kind of movie, you might tune out of it because it seems like it'd be more dramatic and
right.
more about the giant monster stuff. But it's actually kind of like it's definitely a more indie kind of whimsical kind of tone.
Interesting,
but it's a good movie.
Didn't that got
Jason Sudeikis is in it, and he does not play the character you would think he would play in it.
Didn't it get delayed? I mean, wasn't it supposed to come out in like April?
I don't know. I know it's in limited theaters, and then it hit streaming services. I know that.
Oh, crazy. I'm going to check that out then. Fantastic.
It's good, yeah.
I want to see the sequel with that and Cloverfield.
Oh, you mean Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield? No.
I'm talking about, like, you know, they did with Split and
oh,
Unbreakable.
Yeah.
So combine.
Combine both?
Yeah, combine Cloverfield. And
then they're going to do a mashup with Pacific Rim, and it's going to be a whole thing.
It's going to be a whole thing.
Then Michael Bay's going to, like, direct 4 through 5.
Oh, man.
Pacific Rim versus Transformers.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well,
listen, Mr. Savani,
what?
James Savani, we have got to get out of here.
Because
I
said
before
Michael
we
Bay.
Do, where can we find you? Where can we follow you?
What?
Are you a social media guy?
I am far too much social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr. Is anybody going Tumblr anymore? Yeah.
Is that even a site now?
What's that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tumblr?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tumblrs.
Is that like Friendster?
There's a lot of other, like, Greg Rucka's on it, and a bunch of comic book guys are on it, and it's kind of like Instagram.
Yeah, anybody important?
my friend James Silvani's on it. And but it's like Instagram, except it's uncensored, so it's good.
Crazy.
And your handle is Silvani Art.
Silvani Art, yeah.
In most of those places.
On all of them, so there you can find
him. All right, and you can find him. He can do commissions for you once he's healed up, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm getting ready for the convention season coming
up. Yes, and that, of course, means... Alika.
Maui Comic Con in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but also he's going to be here on Saturday, later half of the day, because he's such a good guy, and he does the library in Kihei. And we feel bad that you're even coming here from there.
No. I'd be more than happy to.
It's a 10-minute drive.
Yeah. And what is
I got to drive further.
I'm gonna
free
be here.
Comic book day. Free comic books.
And I'm going to be I'm gonna be pretending that I'm James.
You did pretty good last year.
Yeah.
Okay, let me do some.
I'm gonna bring
and also
going to
be
table.
Here Saturday, May 7th?
May
6th. Saturday, May 6th. Todd Bernardi is going to be here as well. Todd Bernardi, the author
so
of
excited.
Cooley Project. Is that good?
Woo.
Yeah, is that good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay,
that's
good.
Okay.
See, I was trying to talk you up a bit.
We got excited about somebody that's been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So May 6th, free comic book day. Come down, enjoy the free comics. Enjoy the artists, James Silvani, Todd Bernardi. It's going to be a lot of fun. I was here last. I think I was here for last year's free comic book day.
Mm-hmm. Nick Cage is going
to
be here.
Real quick, what's your roster for con season? Just to give us a quick glimpse into the world of James Silvani.
End of June is Denver Comic Con. Mm-hmm. Then 2 weeks after that is the Disney's D23 Expo.
Oh.
You're going to D23?
Going to
D23. That's awesome.
That is my favorite convention to go to.
Last year, they had some really good interviews. It was the Darkwing Duck 25th, so they were doing panels and stuff.
Yep.
With
actually, what was great was at that show, they did I think it was the 20th anniversary of the Goofy movie.
Oh, really?
So they had the whole cast there, and they did a live performance of the Powerline concert.
Wait.
Wow. Awesome.
Pauly Shore wasn't there.
No, Pauly Shore wasn't there, but the
main voice actors behind the
groups. Goofy and Max, and then the guy who did Powerline. What was the singer? Tevin Campbell. Tevin Campbell. Yeah.
Really, Tevin Campbell was
there, and they did a live Powerline concert.
Wow, that's
crazy.
Awesome.
It was you can find it on YouTube and a couple different places, but yeah, D23. Weird thing is that D23 is on the second weekend of July. Immediately 3 days after that is San Diego Comic Con.
So and you're going, right?
I'm going to both of those. Yeah. So that's going to be nuts. I got a Wizard World Chicago after that. And then both of us will be at Rose City Comic Con. Yeah. And
on purpose?
In September.
Yeah. We're sharing a table.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Sharing a room.
You get to fill in for teams every time he goes on a bathroom.
Yeah. You guys are sharing a table?
I'm going to shave the beard.
That's awesome.
And I'll look more like James.
Thanks. I was growing the beard.
Oh, he's gonna be.
So which one of you is James Silvani?
Yeah.
That's it right there.
The one that can draw good.
That's awesome.
He's the good-looking one. <I guess. laughs>
Well, listen, guys, time for us to get out of here. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be seeing you guys, if you live on Maui, at the Maui Mall Megaplex, Regal Maui Mall Megaplex, for the double feature of Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, prizes to give away, posters to give away. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please join us. It's going to be at 4:30 p.m. Get your tickets now online at regmovies.com. You can download the Regal app and get the movies as well. You guys are not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I guarantee it. We're going to have a blast.
Chris
so please
Pratt
join
will be
us.
There.
Stop it.
On screen.
Okay, good. He'll be on screen.
You mean in the movie?
Yes,
yeah.
In the movie. So join us, please. The Nerd Watch is proud to present Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1 and Volume 2, back-to-back, double feature. It's going to be great.
Remember when Todd used to do prints for the premieres we did?
Yeah, he did. They were fantastic. Those were the good old days.
That was that was back when I still liked being here. No, I'll do a baby group for you.
Oh, good.
There
good.
You
I
go.
Can't wait.
That's what I want to hear.
That's what I want to hear from you. That's
is that
the kind
code
of
code for something?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take a baby group.
It's like a hot lunch, except dirtier.
Cool, man.
All right. Well, listen, please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Follow us
if
on Twitter.
You've been turned away by now.
Follow us on Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation. Please follow us on YouTube at @_nerdwatch. This episode will be on YouTube, and you can actually watch another episode, I think, here, and you can subscribe to the podcast over there. So or subscribe to our YouTube channel over there as well.
Oh, just a heads up. Audie shared the interview, the live feed. Uh-huh.
and said that we were the best interviewers he's ever been.
Fantastic!
He also went on to say we're the only interviewers.
Yes.
Well, by the way, Audie's interview,
but, you know, by default,
Audie's interview will also be on our podcast site as well. You can check that out on iTunes and Audio Boom.
So if you guys missed that on the
bad Facebook feed, you guys can listen to it in full color and in full, I guess you could say, colorful language, courtesy of Audie, right here.
Wow, just throw him under the bus.
I did. iTunes and Audio Boom. And by the way, please follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdwatch. Donate to the show if you enjoy the show, please. We actually are fully fan-funded, and all donations even started a buck. We certainly appreciate it. I'm just putting
we're
it out
self-funded.
There. Yeah, we're self-funded.
We are so funded.
We are so funded. And follow
and
us on Instagram.
That's the name of the pod now. We are so funded.
Follow us on Instagram at @_nerdwatch. So, James Savani, thank you so much for coming, sir. It's
Man,
always
thanks
a pleasure.
For having me.
We love having you here. So for Todd, for Gannon, for Format, for Alika, for myself, G Money, and the amazing James Savani, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys,
Aloha.
You're going to want to stay tuned next week. We got our reviews of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
We're going to have a self-funded group, baby group.
Is Thor still abroad?
Yeah. Yeah, she is.